I speak to you in God's holy name. God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We are now at the second Sunday of Advent, and today's theme is one of joy, and next Sunday is peace. And we've been following now for a few Sundays, expanding the idea of hope, because hope underlies peacefulness and joyfulness. Because people who are not hopeful find it very difficult to be joyful and very hard to be peaceful. And also the fourth theme of Advent is love, and find it hard to express love. So it's important to really delve into what does it mean to be hopeful, especially in these times in our lives, as we hear all kinds of things coming at us that don't make us very hopeful indeed. And we have already explored and found out that there are two main classifications of hope. One being extrinsic, meaning it comes from outside, and the other is intrinsic, hope from within. And we've looked at the fact that God is a God that indwells in each of us, and our hope comes from mainly from within. That extrinsic, outside looking for hope, is often one that leaves us disappointed, frustrated, exasperated, angry, and defeated. But the hope that comes from within, one that we garner as life progresses, is one that sustains. And it also is a sustainable type of hope. Today and next Sunday, I want to look at nine habits of hopefulness. Nine habits of hopefulness. And these are hopeful elements within all of us that help us sustain hope in our lives. We're going to spend some time looking at the first four of them today, and next Sunday we're going to look at the other five, because it's all important as we prepare ourselves for the birth of Jesus, as we prepare our own hearts and minds to be Christians living alive in this century with all that's going on around us. So here's a quick listing of the nine habits of hopefulness. You've heard of the seven habits of highly effective people. This is the nine habits of highly effective Christians, I think. The first is being present. The next one is mindfulness. The third is avoiding distraction. The fourth is selective attention. The fifth is meditation. The sixth is using our senses. Number seven is wonder and exploring wonder. The next one, number eight, is bearing witness. And number nine is universal gazing and wonder. So those nine habits together help us to be hopeful and to build hope within ourselves as we live. So today we're going to start with, first of all, being present. What does that mean? Being present means paying attention and not distracted from real life around us. We often don't pay attention to the beauty that's going on around us. We are often distracted. Our minds race away that, oh, I've got to get this done and that done, and oh, I should have done that, and blah, blah, blah. And it goes on in our minds. We get into a monkey or a, what do you call those wheels in our heads, you know, a hamster wheel. And the hamster wheel gets going in our heads, and we miss all the wonderful things that can bring us hope in our midst at the moment. And so the first habit is being present to right now. Not being stuck in yesterday, not being distracted by the things that we think are overwhelming for tomorrow, but being present now. The next habit that's pretty important is really pretty important, I think. It's based on the idea of giving full acquaintance of being real. So if we have to really have an awareness of being real, so we have a presence, and the next habit is mindfulness. Now, mindfulness we hear a lot about today, and I want to give you a definition of mindfulness, because those of you who practice yoga, you hear about mindfulness, right, as a part of the practice. The teacher is always going to talk to you about it. You hear about it in lots of places. I work in nonviolent communication, and mindfulness is one of the keys of nonviolence. We also have a meditation group, and we talk about mindfulness there. But mindfulness never seems to get defined. And I was able to find this definition of mindfulness that, for me, is pretty important. Mindfulness is notice what is happening in our minds. What's going on? And the best definition I've found to date is maintaining a moment-by-moment awareness of our sensations, feelings, and thoughts without getting caught up in them. To me, it's so important, I'm going to say it again. Maintaining a moment-by-moment awareness of our sensations, feelings, and thoughts without getting caught up in them. I have to notice it and let it be. Notice what's going on within us, but then not travel after it. So I have to be mindful for right now, moment by moment, but not sort of get like a magnet, get caught onto it. We have to just notice it and then let it be. So when I'm meditating, I might be tempted to trip off and thinking, oh, I've got to do this before Christmas Eve service. And then I just stop myself and say, okay, I know he's got to do that. But I come back to the present now and just be still and be with God. Just be still and have that sense of the Holy Spirit alive and be entering into that. We have to work at getting not caught up in our thoughts, feelings, and sensations. And one of the ways to do that is to visualize these things that come to us, like the hamster wheel concerns, as floating bubbles. And that we just have a little feather in our hand that touches the bubble and breaks the bubble and it disappears and we continue to meditate. So in a way, you try to see yourself not getting caught up into the bubble, but really just letting it be. Break the bubble, carry on with the moment, being present in the moment, being present with God, being present with the Holy Spirit. One of the things that often happens that breaks up our meditations and prevents us from our mindfulness is that we get caught up in a storyline. And the storyline that we carry in our mind is, and I'm sure that people who are working in law often notice this, that the storyline only has a partial element of truth in it. Because truth is broader than what we ever imagine. There's always, there's an old saying that I learned once when I was working in the greenhouses as a student by an old Dutchman who was my chief gardener. And he said, David, you've got to remember, there's your side and my side and the truth. That there's always many elements to truth, but we get caught up in our own storyline and think that's the whole truth. And we forget a whole lot more. Mindfulness reminds us that when we have that storyline running in our head, that maybe that's only partially true. Give it up. There's bigger things. There's more to going on than just my storyline. There's a whole lot more, and we need to see that. And we don't have to attach our lives to our own developed storylines. We have to have a bigger common sense. The third habit is trying to avoid distraction. Because distraction can prevent us from being hopeful. We get distracted so easily in our lives today. It reminds me when I was in high school, and French was vitally important growing up in Quebec, that the English people had to learn French. And we had this lovely French teacher, Mrs. Gatenby. But I was a poor student in French. I only learned French later as an adult. But as a student, I was not good. But she was so distractible. And all of us who didn't get our work done, we would work to distract her. And poor Mrs. Gateby, she would go off in one tangent or another, and we would just skip out of having to do anything in class. It was lovely. But distraction is an issue, because we can distract ourselves from focusing in what we are there to do, and that's to meditate and have a sense of developing hopefulness within us. We have to know that, as we've said last week, when there is death, after death comes life, and our hope is that there is in God always hope developing, always moving, always happening underneath. And if we just get distracted by the moment, we lose that sense of hopefulness. We have to have a self-discipline to keep us from getting sucked in and walked away from hopefulness. And the fourth habit that I want to talk about today, and we'll complete it next Sunday, is selective attention. Selective attention is a focus on a situation to the exclusion of all others. It's not like a distraction, but it is equally powerful. It's the other side of distraction. We just focus in on, this is what I'm about here today. I'm here today in my time of meditation to think about my hope is in God. My hope is present, and that God is alive within me and alive in the world, and that I can trust in God, and my hope is in that. And even though there's politicians who make me crazy and there's situations that are going on, I'm not going to get distracted by them, but I'm going to keep my attention right now on God and the hope who is in Jesus. And the hope is in the birth, the upcoming birth, which we celebrate on an annual basis, of Jesus, who was our hope. So there's the putting aside the distractions, trying not to get caught up in them, but keeping a focus in on what's going on now. It's not all about everything else. Like, narrow down and keep a focus. This thing is so important. Those of you who've ever had to do psychology training or taking statements from witnesses and training on how to do that, there's something called, and I love it, it's called the invisible gorilla. And the invisible gorilla is a psychological test that's often done, and you have students focused in on a particular part of work on a screen, usually, and they are looking at information that they can take and then transcribe what's going on, and you let them run doing this for a while, and they're very focused, and then you run a picture of a gorilla across the screen. It just slightly goes across like a bubble. And you, then, after the test is over, you ask them how many people saw the gorilla. And usually, only 20% at the most ever see the gorilla. They're so focused in on what they're doing because of the test, they don't see the gorilla. But if somebody's distractible, they'll see the gorilla and they won't see, they'll lose their attention on what's going on. So we have to be like that. Focus in and not let those gorillas that come prancing across the screen of our lives to take us away from what we're doing. And our doing is to know that we have hope in Jesus Christ, whose birth we are awaiting and whose hope we live in. And I pray today that as we come and receive the sacrament, we focus in that our hope is in Jesus, whose foundation brings us joy and brings us peace. May God bless us all. Amen.